This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy Wednesday hump day to you. This November 6th. And congratulations to President Trump. That's what we do around here. We congratulate the winner. America has spoken. And I'll tell you something, because I said it yesterday. Barack Obama was wrong. Our fireside chat, right, that I had talked about yesterday, he said it was going to be close. It was not close. It was not close. Yesterday.
Yeah.
And so John will have his concession speech at some point during the next 3 hours. Brad may or may not weigh in. But everybody, we got work to do today, right? We got Americans. We have work to do. What'd you say, John? It's on us, right?
Yeah.
That's what you said yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look.
You're absolutely right.
That's the American system, right? That is what we saw yesterday. There's a winner, there's a loser, and it's decided by the American people. And that is the beautiful thing about it, right, is that we have a voice and everybody gets a chance to use it.
Yes.
And some years you're going to be disappointed with the outcome. Some years you're going to be happy with the outcome. But the key is not who wins the election. The key is what you do every single day and the things that you can control in your life, right? So what can I do as an American? I can only do one thing. I can treat you and everybody that I come into contact with respect and kindness and love. I can raise my children, Riley and Dominic, to do the same exact thing, to treat people who do or don't look like them the same exact way, to greet people with warmth and love and respect and kindness in every opportunity, in every walk of life. I can only control those things. That's all we can do. And that's my focus. That's my focus every single day, regardless of whether this is an election year or not, regardless of who is in that office and who is in that White House. My responsibility to my country, to my neighbor, to my family, is to make sure that I'm doing the best I can for myself and for my family. And I would hope that everybody else feels the same way.
Thank you.
So
appreciate you saying that. I had no idea
because
how you felt.
Because
I had no idea.
Yeah, because the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter who's in the White House. I mean, it never does, right? We're the ones that are here on the ground. You know, we're the ones that have to see people,
civilians
at the gas station. We're the people that have to, you know,
the workabees.
That's right. We're the ones who are here and live in this experiment every single day, right? Like, so all we can do is control the things that we can control. And what can we control? We can control how we treat people. And I hope that we choose love over the next 4 years, over the next 10 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be. But that is the American system. That's the beauty of it. And that's what makes America the greatest country in the world, is that we have that system in place where you get a chance to choose. And America chose last night. and you accept the result. You move on. You try to make the best country that you possibly can. So, like you said, time to get to work. Time to do the work.
That's right.
And that's what we'll do today, tomorrow, next day, next year, next decade. That's what we do every single day.
That's right. And, and the Grizzlies have work. And LeBron's got work.
Grizzlies got work to do tonight against
the Los Angeles
Lakers. And we're looking forward to that. Get into that today on the show. Grizzlies are a slight favorite to that tonight. Be interested to see if Anthony Davis goes tonight. I think that's kind of up in the air.
He played in the last one against the Pistons, but I saw him with the questionable.
Yeah,
is he?
But they lost to the Pistons.
Doesn't make much sense because they had both of the big
boys. They did. So,
after a 3-0 start.
Yes.
Bad road trip.
What is it, 1-4 since then?
They've lost 3 or 4.
Three or four, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
it's been the road trip.
It has been the road trip.
Yeah, I think they've won one on
this. Don't the Lakers always
lost to Detroit, and this is the last, I believe, of a 5-game road trip for them. Yes.
Don't the Lakers always play the Grizzlies really well though?
Like, feels like it.
It's tough. Spot.
Remember when Schroeder took the ball from Bain? And I mean, we've had some bad times.
Yeah, we absolutely have. So anyway, we'll get into all of that today here on the show. 11:25. Parthi Padia is going to be in studio with us.
Excellent.
From the Daily Memphian. He's going to join us.
He's a real sharp brother.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him about the Memphis basketball season. Obviously, he was there for the Missouri win on Monday night. He has Memphis in the Sweet 16, so we'll talk to him about how much his position on the Tigers has strengthened since winning and covering Missouri.
He was in here last time we had him on. I was talking about how sharp he is, John. I was talking about his part. Have y'all talked about that?
Oh, his side part.
The part he has in his
head. I thought you were talking about he's a sharp guy.
Parth's part. Yes.
Never really looked at
it. He was in studio last time. Yeah. That's what I mean. Very sharp dude. Right. Okay. I really respect his approach to the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he'll join us at 11:25 and look forward to talking with him. Then at 1:25, Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. And we will talk to him about Memphis basketball.
I have a question for
his thoughts on the season and more.
Very specific. What's Thad going to do? Because if you look, right, season has started, and to my knowledge, Thad is not with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll ask him, perhaps. Right, maybe there's no definitive answer on that. But be nice to know what the plan is, if there is a plan.
Yeah.
Or if Thad's done.
Or, yeah, because, like, you know, I mean, Mike, for example, never officially, like, retired.
And don't they wait? They wait a little. It seems like that's sort of the NBA way. If you kind of wait and let it, you figure it out for a little while, right? See if the teams are calling and do all that stuff. So I'll be interested in that. Well, maybe we'll ask Herb that 1:25.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the
nice
show
hoodie you got
today. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's North Face. That is not a sponsored bit. All right. This is just a hoodie.
I'm just complimenting you on your hoodie.
Well, I like the green. Is there any symbolic behind the green? I mean,
nope. Just an oversized green.
Are you in the Christmas mood?
Just an oversized green hoodie.
Is that what it is?
I don't know why my wife buys me extra large hoodies.
Okay.
But when she does, you can tell.
Yeah.
Because those that are big on me, those are the ones that she.
It's a nice hoodie though.
I think it's actually made of a rain pants material.
Rain pants material. Yeah, gotcha.
Rain will fall off this.
Gotcha. Yeah. Perfect. Well, I'm glad you got a good deal on that because obviously, you know, with the tariffs, you know, that may cost you a little more, you know, in the future. So, but no, man, it's obviously a great hoodie, and we're gonna have.
See how we're working. We're unified today.
No, I think we were unified before.
We're
an example. Yes,
what the country should do.
That's exactly right. I mean, mm-hmm. as long as we can just continue to
stay as
unified as we clearly are, then I think everything will be just fine.
Okay.
Over the next however many years, right? However many years. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it as always. But it is Wednesday, November the 5th, I think, 6th, whatever.
Come on, bro. It's the 6th.
It's the 6th.
That's one thing you got to get right.
Sorry. And usually around these times during the week, we do a little thing we call cap or no cap. Let's get it. All right. The Los Angeles Lakers are coming to town, Jason. The Grizzlies will get it right tonight and get back to winning ways against the Los Angeles Lakers. Is that cap or no cap?
I'm going to go that it's no cap. They will do it because...
Bang!
We know how shorthanded they are, you know, no Bane, get that. But you will have Jaren Jha. It's really more what's going on with the Lakers, because we had talked about it when they got off to that 3-0 start and how good a job it looked like J.J. Redick was doing. And he may still be a great coach and a great fit for them, but things have thinned out since then. We mentioned it, 3 of 4 lost on this road trip. This is the last game of a road trip. You know what they're preaching. Let's salvage this, right? Let's salvage this road trip and get back on track. But for whatever reason, and maybe it's just this, what we've sort of said about the Lakers for a while, like, you can't win an NBA championship anymore with LeBron and AD doing most of the work. And while we liked the pickup in the draft of Dalton Connect, if you look at that box score on Monday and their road loss to the Detroit Pistons, oh, by the way, John, they were 6.5-point favorites in that game, even with the recent struggles. If you look in that box score, there's nobody doing anything off the bench. There's nobody doing anything save for Anthony Davis, 37-9. LeBron James had his usual, 20-11, 8 rebounds, 11 assists. But it's, nothing off the bench. In that game, Dalton Connect didn't do it. Cam Reddish, it's just this hodgepodge of guys that they've hoped. Okay, so really they fooled themselves into thinking this will be enough of a supporting cast. It hasn't been. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, they're not this bad what they've been on the road trip, but it's more more so than a 3-0 start and looking like a real contender again in the West. It's the same story on the Lakers. And for that reason, yes, I think a Grizzlies team that absolutely – John, you talked about how many times have we been in the spot, too many this year, where the Grizzlies have needed to answer the call, right? This is another one of those. You just lost to the Nets.
Yeah.
Again, it's unfortunate that we've had so many of these, but you just lost the Nets. You're back home. It feels to me like you've got enough, unless you just let some of these Lakers, reserve players that did nothing against Detroit, get out of hand. And I'm hopeful they won't. Strangely, the Grizzlies defense, offensively, they're a top 10 offense, even as shorthanded as they've been. Even sometimes struggling from, outside the way they have. So it's working enough. They've been decent enough this shorthanded at 4-4 that I think they take care of business tonight.
Yeah,
they could make me look like a fool, but I think they get up for this one. Don't bring me the Nets around here. They clearly don't get up for the Nets, but I think they get up for the Lakers. They take care of business.
Yeah, so I think so.
Slight favorite, as you said. By
yeah,
the way,
I think, but again, it's hard.
And we don't know on Anthony if he doesn't go. What are we talking about?
That number will get pretty big, but
can they afford him not to?
Yeah, off a loss of the Pistons, I think they probably will have
trying
him in
to
there.
Salvage this trip. Yeah. Like I talked about, you've already
it's
lost.
It's a tough spot, man. But you know what? You're going to get a lot of tough spots in the NBA. That's part of it. That's the way it goes, isn't it? I mean. Every single team's going to be, coming off a loss or on a road trip or whatever the case may be. Like, you're just going to have to find ways to win games like this because you're sitting here at 4-4. I think they avoided going sub 500 this year, didn't they? Or did they go to 2-3 at one point? I can't remember.
At this point, it doesn't matter. They're 4-4.
Yeah. You got to avoid going under 500.
Caught up in the little things.
Yeah. But if they lose... It's not the end of the world.
Now, I mean, when we looked at this schedule, what I'll give you is that we'd hoped it'd be a little bit better than 4-4, but I think...
They did go 2-3 when they lost the Nets. They did go under 500.
But I think at this point, as shorthanded as they've been, you tell yourself, okay, you've sort of, you've tread water enough here. Tread water, remember, was the sort of the theme going into last year, just tread water for the first 25 without John Morant. Boy, we were singing that early, till the bottom dropped out, really till Steven Adams went out. But no, I think... You're disappointed a little bit at 4-4. At least I am, but I think for the most part they've done a decent job of salvaging the situation.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if your stars were playing more minutes, but I'm not going to complain as much because if you've noticed, Jaren and Ja, I believe last two games have both been over 30 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not playing the 35-36 other team's stars are, but at least it's sort of the upward trajectory that we're saying. What are they doing? And so hopefully it gets closer to something like that. Like that continues.
Yeah. Okay, I'm tripping. Sorry. Memphis will start the season 2-0 with their game on Saturday against the UNLV Running Rebels. The Cap or No Cap.
I will defer to you. Let you go first here, Mr. College Basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I think Memphis will probably be a pick 'em. Maybe a 1-point underdog, something along those lines.
KenPom got a 2-point win for Memphis.
Okay, yeah. So I suspect it'll be.
You were talking about KenPom in Vegas, just yesterday.
Could open there, and then maybe some money comes in on UNLV. UNLV, like we talked about yesterday, had that first game against Alabama State.
79-77.
Yeah, and they got everybody back. They won 93-70, 93-79 against Alabama State. Obviously, it's a big jump up in competition from Alabama State to Memphis. I haven't just seen a lot of UNLV. I don't get the sense that they're super deep, that they're a super deep team. I think they have some, you know, they've maybe upgraded in some spots, but it has not been a great time for Kruger there at UNLV. So, yeah, I mean, Memphis will have the opportunity to definitely start this season 2-0. You know, if you could tell me that I'm getting a little bit of a better game from Kobe Rogers, I'd feel a lot better about it. You know, he was just not, unfortunately, I think he finally made a few shots, but he fouled out, just didn't get comfortable. If you told me I was getting that, I'd feel better about it. But sure, why not? I'll say Memphis starts the season 2-0. That's okay.
Is it Deedon Thomas or Deadon Thomas?
I think it's Deedon.
He's going to be one you're going to have your eye on. Kid got to the free throw line 11 times, had 7 assists, 17 points. He's the key to what they do in terms of offensively. He's going to have the ball in his hands, obviously. We went and looked. They went 9 of 20 from 3, so they're capable. You're going to have to guard the three-point line. I think it was one of their guys, in particular, this Julian Rishwane, went 4 of 8 from 3. For Memphis, whether it's running guys off the three-point line or being able to knock down and be respectable yourself, which they were against Missouri. They come back and shoot 40% from three. Mm-hmm. We had talked about it as one of our biggest concerns. Is this team going to knock your socks off as a shooting team? No. But if you can be decent to respectable, that's going to be key. And then, obviously, defensively, I just think, you know, guarding the three-point line in college basketball, it's got to be one of the priorities every time out. And they showed against Alabama State they're capable. And so, hopefully, you know, Memphis is a slight favorite here. You know, John saying pick them. You know, it'd be close, 1-2, whatever it is. You go out there and you get the win. Because I don't think, again, there are going to be fewer and fewer opportunities with the rest of this non-conference schedule that you could say, okay, this is one we can get. It just feels like because this, you know, the fifth, this team was picked fifth in the Mountain West.
Mm.
You know, you look like you should be, again, and I'm looking at UAB's first result and that loss to Vermont. You should be the best team in the AAC. This is a game you should get on the road.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're prepared, and the trip to Huntsville helped do that for you.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of a swing game, right? Kind of a swing game for Memphis, for both teams, really. All right, moving on. The College Football Committee got the top 12 right last night in the first edition of the College Football Playoff rankings. Is that cap or no cap?
I'd say it's cap just because I thought BYU – was done wrong.
Mm.
I'd use Penn State, right, which lost to Ohio State, but doesn't really have anything, and BYU sitting there with two ranked wins, and you're 9, they're 6. You know, there are others you can pick at. I mean, you knew they were going to put Texas in the top 5, but what has Texas done? It doesn't have a ranked win.
Right.
So I look at BYU, they're sitting there undefeated. Again, this is 9, you know, it'd be so much nicer if Memphis was in this conversation. They're not. So that's an aside that doesn't matter here. Not for the, they didn't get it right with BYU. So they didn't get it right.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a ton of issue here. I mean, and there's still so much left to play out in the season. Like, I don't – like, this will obviously probably look a lot different, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now. I mean, Indiana's going to play Ohio State, so that's going to get sorted out, right? You know, Ole Miss plays Georgia. So a lot of these teams have, you know, chances to validate or disprove, you know, where they are. You know, here, you know, at the beginning of the season. So, well, not really the beginning of the season, but at least the first, you know, initial playoff ranking here. So,
Penn State has no top 25 wins, and they lost. Yes, it was close. Yes, they could have won, but they lost to Ohio State. So how are you 6, 3 spots ahead of a BYU team that's undefeated, has 2 top 25 wins?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Penn State's done nothing.
Right.
I mean, yeah. That's, again, I'd use them as sort of... They're the ones I'd look at if I'm BYU. So why are they there and we're here?
Right. So yeah, I mean,
I'm not going to get upset over the first set of college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, we got plenty of time for that.
Yeah, Cougars got a gripe though.
Yeah, plenty of time to get mad about those because you know there's still, you know, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks left in the season. So, but yeah, it's out, and a lot of these teams have a chance to to improve or worsen their spot. That'll happen over the next 3 to 4 weeks. All right, we'll come back. Parth's going to join us. We'll talk to him about this Memphis basketball season, get his thoughts on the Missouri win, UNLV, the rest of it, all that and more on the other side. Jason and John, Adi-Tron FM, ESPN.
The NFL continues on. We're already week 10. There's no better place to get in on the action than on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. You'll get started with $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins, and you can build the same game parlay from any of your favorite Sunday matchups. You got 49ers, Buccaneers. It's a must win for both teams. Steelers at Commanders is my favorite matchup this Sunday. It's pretty good, a slick good one. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to make every moment more this season. That's FanDuel.com/JSmith. Guess it's not so slick anymore because the word's out on the Commanders and how good they are. It's all at FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL and the official partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah, that's his music. Parth Upadhyay covers the Memphis Tigers for the Daily Memphian. And before the season began, you know, some people have bold predictions, but you just had a forecast that was not bold, right? It was just like, this is what I think is going to happen.
I should have specified it.
I was reading bold. No, you don't have
to
specify.
If you read the article, it's clear I was, you know.
Well, no, it's clear, but you didn't specify. So it just
felt like an optimistic take.
You're a radical opinion, but that's fine. That's our world in 2024.
And folks telling me I'm too pessimistic, I'm too, you know, negative, whatever it may be, I'm like, all right,
take watch this.
Watch this.
Exactly. Parth famously predicted the University of Memphis will win a title this year.
I did not predict that for those listening who have not read that article. I did not.
I'm being told it was just a Sweet 16. Parth's here in studio. Obviously, Memphis starts 1-0, wins, covers, all is well in Memphis Tigerland. But be honest. Just be totally honest. Not that you would not be honest. But,
always honest.
But be extra honest this time. Was your foundation a little tested in the first half watching that game?
I mean, whose wasn't, right? Like, there were people, I don't know if you could tell, like, watching it on television or whatever, but there were some fans that were leaving the building, like, end of the first half. And you know, just think about the offseason that had just concluded and the Tyreek Smith news that happened 5 hours before tip-off, all that, and you see that lackluster, that flat effort. Like, people were kind of fed up in that moment. And we'd be having a totally different conversation had Memphis not, you know, done what they did and had the 180 in the second half there. But yeah, I mean, certainly I was like, man, this does not look good, especially offensively. It looked horrendous for the first 20 minutes there.
Just real quick on that, and not like it's some big controversy, but we did have somebody reach out to us yesterday and say that, you know, they were down at FedEx Forum just like you were. And we had seen Penny respond to the questions about the booing that had occurred down there during the game.
And unprompted. Say, he wasn't even asked about it. He just came out and said
it. Oh, he came out and said, okay, exactly. So he wasn't, that's important to me as well. So anyway, he had addressed it and everything else. But then afterwards and after our show yesterday, we pointed out the one guy who said, well, listen, we weren't booing the team. We were booing officiating. I did see a Facebook post where there was person after person that said we were booing the officiating. I'm just asking, is it possible at all with you sitting in there, how much of it was directed at Tigers and how much was directed at whoever there was a certain official.
It was Pat Adams.
Adams, I thought
they
so.
They hate
I
Pat Adams, so. Obviously.
So how much of it was that for a guy that was there?
It was hard to tell in the moment.
Okay.
Because the boos were happening as Memphis is giving up fast break after fast break after fast
Penny
break.
Penny clearly acknowledged, is it a booing of our team that we needed, he said.
That's how Penny felt.
Right.
And once again,
so
he said it.
That's key to me. I mean, he took it as that.
He took it as that. I forgot what the question was. I think the question was something like, you know, what inspired the second half surge? And in that answer, he brought it up unprompted. He said, you know, when your hometown fans, when Tiger Nation boos you,
well, there you go.
You deserve folks, it, right, is what Penny Hardaway said. And then he asked follow-up questions.
See, that's key because you've got a faction that's saying that was a media thing, that they were booing the fan. Now, that's Penny Hardaway saying unprompted.
No, that was not a media narrative that we just, you know.
Glad we could clear that up. And more importantly, glad that they responded like they did in the second half. John, I think we both had the same thought. We were watching at halftime, and Penny's confidence. We know him to be a confident guy.
Yeah.
We know him to be a man of faith. But the way he told Gaston, and I don't, you didn't have the benefit maybe of watching, you were there, but the way he told Gaston and Trey Draper, no, we're going to shut this down in the second half, felt a little bit, really? Like, and they came out and they did. How much of it was a Tyrese Hunter speech and how much of it was a different level of effort and defense? How much of it was a different, you know, here, now we're pressing you and we weren't in the first half?
I think it's all those things, but I think obviously the Tyrese Hunter speech, which I wrote about at DailyMemphian.com, he kind of galvanized the troops.
Everybody, it sounded like.
Everybody, just one by one, you know, P.J. Haggerty, Musa Cisse, just down the list, was calling guys out, it sounded like, and they were receptive to it. Nobody, from what I understand, was, you know, kind of butthurt about it or felt some type of way. Everybody was on one accord and saw the issue for what it was, and they came out and pressed. And once they pressed, obviously Missouri's rattled.
Man, it came
Mizzou starts missing shots, and when Memphis starts making shots, all of a sudden Mizzou's got to dig that ball out of the bottom of the net, and then you have time to set up your press defense versus first half, Memphis was just clanking stuff off the iron left and right, and Mizzou's getting out and running in transition.
Yep.
It's hard to guard that, obviously.
Yeah, Penny is an optimist, but he also he'll keep it a buck, too. Like,
oh yeah,
and that's why that sort of halftime, like, he was like, listen, it's almost like he kind of expected it. Like, he almost kind of expected there to be some struggles. You know what I mean? Like, just because of the lack of time. How quickly do you think that it can, you know, because again, that second half was amazing. It's hard to live that way, though, you know, generally speaking, where you have to have a perfect
tale of two halves. You can't do that.
Because it's going to get real here very soon. So, I mean, do you think that's something that they're able to build on very quickly? Because obviously they'll need to.
Yeah, I think so. Just because, you know, let's say they had shot, I'm making something up, let's say they had shot 12 of 14 from three, which they didn't. Then you can say, okay, that's an anomaly, right? You're not going to shoot 12 of 14 from three every game. But that press defense, that's something that carries game to game, home on the road. That's something you can take with you, right? Like, it's replicable. They didn't do anything that's out of the ordinary or, you know, or just unique that can't be duplicated in that manner. But now you're looking at it like, okay, now Tyreek Smith is gone. You've got 9 available scholarship players. Like, can you play that way for 40 minutes? I don't know if that's sustainable, right, with the limited rotation, limited roster.
I'm going to tell you something I was surprised by, especially as much as we talked about it. We've kind of touched on it, but you go 8 of 20 from 3 after looking like, and I know that first half wasn't good, but after looking like 2 in the 2 preseason games, oh boy, shooting is going to be a concern.
Yeah.
But, and then not just that, I think maybe even more surprised that they go 23 of 29 from the free throw line. You know, Missouri missed, what, 9, close to 10 of them. I think UNLV missed 10, although it won its game going away. I'm hopeful that that's not going to be sort of an outlier in terms of what they were able to do. We went into this season saying, is Musa Cisse going to be able to play, you know, because of the free throw shooter he was before he left? We saw Dane Danger at the line the 2 preseasons game. It didn't look good. Are they going to be close to this? It feels like it's going to be decent enough, at least from the free throw shooting standpoint. What about the 3-point shooting?
Yeah, I mean, you would hope, like, in the second half, I thought they were, they shot it well, but they didn't shoot a ton, right? Like, they had 20 3-point attempts for the game, but
they
the second half, they only had
6.
They had 14 threes in the first half. And I think that goes back to the defense, right? When you're pressing and you're getting out in transition, you don't have to worry about whether your half-court offense is going to work or not.
Yep.
But yeah, I think if they can even do it relatively well or somewhere in that neighborhood, even in a smaller sample size, I think then you've got something there, right?
Yeah, I was pretty skeptical, obviously, like vocally, about PJ Haggerty and specifically, because yeah. I wasn't sure. I was pretty cynical how it would translate, you know, his scoring to for going from a team that had nothing going for it to a team that is trying to win the conference, go to a tournament, maybe more. And I'm starting to believe that, like, I was completely wrong to be skeptical.
He passed the eye test, though.
Well,
like, if you watch, you know,
his game is just like, it's not a work of art, but it's very hard to stop. And I think that's, you know, that's college basketball, right? It's not like,
ain't got to be pretty.
I don't know if he's a pro, whatever, but like, he clearly looks like a kind of guy that's going to be able to get a bucket for himself pretty much when he needs it every single night, and or get to the foul line.
Yeah, definitely. I think with the ball in his hand, something's going to happen. He had 5 assists too. Obviously, he had 5 turnovers, but he is their most dynamic player. Not the greatest 3-point shooter, but doesn't need to take a lot of them because he is either going to get hacked or going to get a bucket at the rim. 8 out of 10 times, seemingly.
Go ahead.
I was gonna ask just his counterpart, like,
yep.
You know, one of the things when I'm going way back, but when James Wiseman and Precious Achiuwa were together, like, it almost felt like Precious needed James to go away for him to be his best self, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they played a little bit together and it didn't quite look great. It was kind of clumsy, a little overlap. Like, how do you think Tyrese sort of, how does he find himself, you know, in this offense with PJ and the role that PJ clearly is going to play? Because I think that was the part that, like, Tyrese just didn't feel that, like, he didn't really stand out from an offensive standpoint, you know, from a scoring
second-leading scorer.
Yeah.
But kind of loses season 14.
Is that what it's going to look like for him, you know, over the course of the season? Will there be, like, games where it's him or Pete? Like, what do you think it sort of looks like in terms of the cadence?
I think it's a 1-2, right? I think PJ Haggerty's got to be your one, you know, 9 out of 10 games this season. With
I've
Tyrese
got
Hunter.
Musa as the second leading scorer. Let me be clear about that. They keep putting my guy on the foul line. Like, those days are over. We're not going back.
That
right?
Might be the outlier.
You've been on the Musa fan train since he
bro, Musa's hurt.
Since he was born, bro. Since he got to
I don't
America.
Know what it is about Musa. I've always been a Musa, like, I don't know, like, put me in the Musa camp, bro. I've always been a believer in him.
No, but he's taking a leap. But I think Tyrese Hunter is like your facilitator, your orchestrator, your you know, vocal and physical leader, both on and off the court. And Haggerty's the bucket getter, right? He's the guy that is going to get you one when you need one the most.
See, I think this is why having guys like Munns down there that can come out of it, to go back to a story that you wrote about, you know, and this goes to John's question about Tyrese. It seems like to me, when you have a moment like you did at halftime where Tyrese Hunter, who maybe PJ is deferring to in a way, just because you're the older guy, right? You're the vet that's been to the tournament, right? You've been to the big programs and everything else. And maybe there's just a natural sort of, you know, deferring to him. But when Tyrese vocally says, bro, we need you to go do this, maybe there's your leader right there. And maybe it doesn't have to be points necessarily. You're right. I mean, he's great. But a guy that understands, no, we actually need PJ Haggerty to lead us right now. I don't know. It feels like to me, maybe it's going to be the perfect sort of combo if you've got a guy like Tyrese that understands, dude, I don't need to be fighting with PJ for opportunities here. I need to be empowering him. And feels that sounds like leader to me with Tyrese.
100%. I know it's still early. We've got, you know, 2 exhibitions and one regular season game under our belt, but it seems like that mentality has trickled down from top to bottom, not just Tyrese Hunter, but from
so you've
one
have
down
a heck
to nine,
in order.
Where
yeah.
people understand their roles. And it was interesting to see, like, for it to be the first real game this team has played together, it looked like guys understand who they are, right? Like, in this roster, in this system. And that's something we didn't see last year until probably, what, mid-December when they were running through A&M and Virginia. And
no question. No, you see, I mean, adversity brings out character in guys. And Tyrese Hunter, in that instance, he's a guy that steps up and answers the call.
Yeah.
How good UNLV, what should this, you know, game look like on Saturday? What are you expecting?
Because that is the job, Saturday? Right? Like, the job is not just let me know what's going on with the team that I cover. It's like, let me be able to, like, speak.
Oh, yeah, he's already writing. Yeah, you got to get the previews ready and all that good stuff.
And we're going to go down the list, by the way. We're going to start with UNLV, and we're going to probably break down all 30 opponents.
Player.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Take the floor with UNLV.
Yeah, they were picked 5th in the Mountain West. Got a couple first-place votes. The thing is, like, there's not – people look at UNLV in this schedule, and, you know, you look at It's not UConn, obviously. It's not Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Clemson, Virginia, whatever. But there are no give-me's on this schedule. Mm-hmm. And UNLV certainly isn't one of them. They're 93rd in KenPom, so it's not like it's some kind of
but it's a road game.
Freebie.
It's a road game. That's the thing. It's like in college basketball, like and you can lose any road game. Memphis has. Like over the 100%. Years. Like it ain't. So yeah, man, like I this is not that they have to cut you off, but like don't look at the number of this is gonna be a pick'em. I mean, you know, even though it's they're 93
in KenPom,
yeah, you know, it's not gonna be like some, you know, they're certain. I watched them beat Creighton last year in at Dollar Loan Center in
That's
Henderson.
Right. That's right.
You know, like they are.
We were there.
I was on the sideline.
That's amazing.
I was on the sideline because you know what? Because I'm like that. You know what I mean? I'm like that. I'd be out.
Parts always on the sideline.
I was a fan on the sidelines, though, bro. I'm telling you. So I've seen them do it is the point. That's not their home arena, but like anybody can lose on the road in college basketball, bro. Like that's the thing.
They did struggle with Alabama State for a while there, though. They were up by like 5.5 and
Alabama State's a good team. People don't know that. TJ
Madlock.
They
got two good guards. I know that. Amar and TJ Madlock.
Hey, how about this? They got three. This is crazy.
Does he have any more from Memphis?
I don't know if he has any more from Memphis. Okay. I think those are the only two off the top of my head. But he has three all SWAC guys from last year that came back. So, I mean, as that
276th
in
KenPom.
But
can they win their league, though, this year? That's, you know, can they move up in their league would be the thing for Tony.
Like if you're, that's a team that's...
You're always going to be low, yeah.
But if you're UNLV and you're opener, you're struggling with a team that's in the lower 200s of KenPom.
To your point, that's like I'm with you.
Well, it was 13.5. The number was 13.5.
So they covered five. So they were only up by 5.5. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, Alabama State is a good as those kinds of teams go, they're a good team. They're good in the context.
Yeah,
of,
I'm hoping Tony can move up.
You know
this
what I'm saying? Like, but against any team with length and talent, they're gonna have a hard time. I wouldn't read too much into that. They struggled with Alabama State. That means Memphis should, you know, it's a coin toss game to me is how it feels.
What are you thinking non-conference record-wise, Parth, is in terms of expectations, in terms of like, okay, it needs to be this because we know in terms of the AAC, very few opportunities, if any, to get quality wins. So what do you think it needs to look like? John's talked about it. You know, they'll be fortunate if they get out of this one game over 500. What is it, 13? So 7-6. What are you sort of seeing? And what do you what does it need to be?
Kind of like what's realistic, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I put this in my and I know we joke about my forecast story. The Sweet 16 was a little bit bold there.
It was.
But you had them in the 8-9 spot, right? In which exactly. In terms of the seeding.
Exactly. The thought process is, hey, this is a bubble team that's gonna live on the bubble for much of the season. They'll get in on the 8-9. And then once you get there, anything can happen. And I think that was the mentality with that prediction. But to go back to your question, I had them at 9-4 through the non-conference. And I think that's very much...
Wow, that's optimistic. I mean, what they look...
No, it is optimistic. I mean, it they're not going 9-4 out of conference.
We can count the losses right now.
You're not predicting 7-6. When you say fortunate to be that...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have a prediction.
Because you never, you didn't make it a formal prediction.
But I said 7.
You would take, if you're a Tiger fan, you're taking 7-6 right now?
I'm probably not.
I don't think you're taking 7-6
right now.
Well,
no, because you started 1-0, right? You started 1-0, so I don't think I'm taking 7-6 now. I would take 8-5 for sure, though.
I think 8-5 is very much, it's feasible. It's not like kind of pipe dream.
Like they could lose Saturday.
Two in Maui, right? So let's say lose two in Maui.
I think they lose two in Maui.
And then
that puts him at that puts him at 3. Okay, because they're not just going to win. I have them lose it on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm losing on Saturday.
Are they losing one of the road games, Clemson, Virginia?
Clemson.
I think they're losing. They're losing both.
That's three.
I mean,
well, let's go with Parth.
Okay.
Here. Let's just real quick.
So I've got two in Maui. I've got the Clemson loss. That's three. And then my fourth is I think it was Ole Miss. It was one of the Ole Miss.
They do
stay one of those
against Ole Miss every year.
I mean, San Francisco at San Francisco, basically not a guarantee.
Again, they're in that same range as UNLV, right there. You better be beating these.
You better be, but
I mean, that's what UAB is right now. Yeah, 100, you know.
But right, it's there. That's
all around the same level.
You know, like if these games were in Memphis, obviously.
I get it, but, I mean, you went to Huntsville, you know what I'm saying? I mean, not that that's a, going into Tuscaloosa, but still, you prepared against a top 10 team.
I know. I don't want to go
in
that
environment that wasn't at home is the point.
Yeah, so look, I've got them losing.
They need to win those.
They're
going to
split one of UNLV San Francisco. They're not going to win both. I mean, that's just like feels like
think we're giving them a little bit too much there after that first half. So if you want to take San Francisco,
first half was rough.
I'll give you San Francisco. So they lose to UNLV, that's one. Two losses in Maui, that's two. You know, you guys say, or part you say split Clemson,
split
Virginia.
Split that road ACC.
I'm going to go.
Back-to-back trip, yeah.
I'm going to go they lose both because they're both on the road. That gives me
five. You think they'll lose
both? Yes. And then they split Mississippi State, Ole Miss. That puts them at 7-6. I mean, I think 8-5 is the best they can do. And that's presuming a split.
That's the ceiling.
Yeah.
8-5.
Yeah.
Ceiling.
I think that's the ceiling. Because, I mean, look, you got.
What do you think, though? What's probable, then? If that's the ceiling, what do you think's going to happen?
I think 7-6 is probably the most likely. I think it's probably, because, again, split UNLV San Francisco, that's one. Two in Maui, that's three. Clemson, Virginia, they lose both, that's five. You know, if you beat Virginia on the road, obviously that's massive. But that's going to be hard to do, man. I mean,
so Ken Pom predicts losses against UConn and Clemson, and that's it.
But we're talking about one
second, right? And it doesn't have the Maui stuff.
How many of those wins he's got for Memphis are 1-point wins?
Several.
Right. I mean, so they're totally, you know, just within the margin of error.
4-point wins, 5-point wins, 3-point wins, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just going to be a grind for Memphis. So it all could happen. They could win. You know, they could win two in Maui, right? They lose to UConn, yeah. And then who would they get most likely if they lose to UConn?
If they lose to UConn, they'd get
Colorado.
Yes, because it'd be either Colorado or Michigan State, so they'd be Colorado. Yeah.
Okay, so they could be Colorado.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything about. I don't think they're super talented. And then if they beat Colorado, that's the problem. They beat Colorado, then they get a better team. You know, so
and that's where the two losses factor in, right? Because you're gonna assume they beat Colorado, which was 75th in Ken Pom, and
it's gonna be tough to go 2-1 in Maui,
North Carolina, or
Iowa State, or Auburn, or something. Exactly. Like it's gonna be tough, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, I think two losses in Maui is pretty much baked in.
The concern is like they can only win one way, right? Especially offensively. Like,
yes.
they have to make games ugly. They got to junk games up. Like, are you gonna be able to rattle teams the way you rattled Mizzou in that second half, all season, maybe, but you know, it's hard to
do that on the road,
right?
Exactly. It's hard, like that's the like in college basketball, man. That is such a thing. I mean, Dennis Gates talked about the crowd
multiple times. He mentioned the FedEx Forum crowd,
you know.
Yep,
and that wasn't even like a packed house.
No,
it by was any not. Means, right? I mean, what did you count it? What were they, 4,500 there?
Announced was 11,000 something, but there were not 11,000 fans.
What would you guess? Were they like just
man? I don't want
to. Just you can guess. You know, and it's not like we're holding you to this. Like nobody's going to hold you to this.
Probably 7.5, 8.
That's not bad. That's not terrible, given how unexcited people are about this season.
It's one of those things where you looked up with 5 minutes to go in the warm up clock, and it's like, where is everybody? You know,
late
arriving crowd,
small but mighty.
It got loud. I will say that it got, especially in that second half run where they went on an 11-0 run and. You know, Tyrese Hunter hits that corner three, the place erupted. So,
yeah.
How much, if at all, are they going to miss Tyreek Smith?
I think when you only have 10 or 11 scholarship guys to begin with, I think you're going to miss everybody, especially, you know, 8-5 off the bench. People joke, like, oh, you know, why are we crying about a guy who scored or who had 8 points and 5 rebounds and whatever, 1.7 blocks last season? But that off the bench is good, man. Like, he was one of the best shot blockers in the AAC.
Athleticism.
Exactly, right, exactly. And now you've got three guys really in the front court remaining. Nicholas Jourdain, Dane Danger, and Musa Cisse. You know, if one of those guys happens to get into foul trouble or is injured or whatever, then you're really in a pickle.
Considerably thinner there.
Yeah.
The Dane thing hasn't clicked yet offensively, it feels like.
Not yet. But I wonder, do you need it to? Like, is that...
Well,
I don't think Musa's
going to be that effective offensively.
That
so I think
true.
At some point you are going to need
some
Dane,
kind of production.
Yeah,
or Nicholas Jourdain to. Although he was, I forgot what he had against Missouri, but he wasn't terrible. I don't think he sat a lot with foul trouble in the first half. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Jourdain did. I'm sorry, he had 3 points. He had 3 points, 5 rebounds. So
he'll be more useful. But it just feels like at some point you're going to need Dane, you know, to know what you're going to be able to get from him. You're going to need an inside threat, and I'm not sure you're going to be able to depend on that from Musa. Yeah, and Nick's that guy that can go inside, outside. But yeah, it feels a little thin in the front court. But if Musa's going to play at this level, man, I know that helps offset it a lot, it feels like.
Yeah.
Penny did say they'd look to add, which is no surprise to –
Add
you know,
what?
Anybody, a player.
Oh, man. You're going to get somebody North Memphis.
Didn't we learn?
They only got nine available scholarship players.
Then when they added last year?
They added Naquan.
And it was he's actually a great player.
Yeah, he was excellent.
Everybody took their ball and went home, though, when he came.
He wasn't the issue. Well, maybe he was in terms of the internal.
That's
because one of the many issues.
You had a bunch of guys
there. Court,
no, he was like their best player.
But yeah, not on the court. No, he was an excellent addition. I mean, I think you take whatever issues come with that if you're adding a player the caliber of Naquan Tomlin.
Like, if you just if I just do the Men in Black thing and I do the blink, right? And you forget everything that happened from February on or late January on. Sure. And we go back to December, and I tell you, Memphis is top 10. They're 15-2, and they're adding Naquan Tomlin. Bro, what are we talking about? We had this conversation when they did it.
It's true.
It's like national championship starts to become a real possibility when you add a player of that caliber
to a top 10
who played in the Elite Eight.
Yes,
you know, like who was productive on an Elite Eight team.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, you just had a bunch of. You had a bunch of powders, and they were not mature enough to handle that happening, and that is unfortunate. I don't blame. I've never blamed Penny for that.
For the Naquan Tomlin.
No, I never blamed him for that because anybody would have done that. Any coach in America would have added him, right? As long as there was no stuff off the court, which there was not, with in terms of pending.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Nice, like he got kicked off for a reason, but there was controversy over that. And any coach in America would have done that same thing. It's just unfortunate that the dynamics of the locker room prevented that from being something that should have been better.
But I think now it's more of I guess we'll see how things play out by December, but it may be more of a need than a want, right? Whereas Naquan Tomlin was like, okay, that nice shiny item, like it'd be nice to have him.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to add another piece to your front court with only three guys available.
I mean, you got Dane, Jordan, and Cissé. I mean, and
that's it. List that's there.
That really should be enough, though, the way they play.
They're susceptible to foul trouble, dude.
Yeah,
we just saw three guys foul.
What about the guy they added late, K-Bay?
Yeah, Penny told us after the Alabama game that he's still not academically eligible.
Okay,
he didn't kind of get into the specifics, but
gotcha.
He's not available. So,
well, I mean,
you've got 10 guys. One's not available.
Can we give him some North Carolina classes or something?
That's crazy.
I mean, you know,
North Carolina classes.
Let me ask you this: Are we done on the days of Penny landing 5-star high school recruits? Not in the sense that he can't, but in the sense that we're in a different world now. Transfer portal is going to be more effective, and you do run the risk. Hey, you bring those guys and it doesn't go well, whether they're transferring or going somewhere else. But do you think we're still there? That Penny's still pursuing those guys pretty heavily, or has that day sort of ended?
I think we're done with the days of him building a foundation of a team based on that, right?
Sure, like absolutely.
He wants to have somewhat of a mix, and that mix obviously being largely veteran guys, whether they be returnees or transfer portal gets, with one or two of those blue chip kind of recruits mixed in versus having 5, 6, 7 of them. I don't think we're going to see that anymore.
Yeah. But seriously, though, we can't get him any North Carolina classes?
I don't believe so.
Why are you trying why are you trying to run from that, bro? That's your culture, man.
It's not my culture.
Yes, it is. That's what they do up there.
Hey, man, my degree's real.
They cleaned it up.
He says his degree is real.
They cleaned it all
not
up.
Not the others are not, but I'm just saying.
It's just Hands Bros, not.
I never said that.
Hands Bros can't be real.
Never said that. Isn't that your guy, your coworker?
Yeah, he is actually. I'm actually on with Henson tonight, though.
I got you.
I'm on with the other North Carolina. I always get him confused, but yeah, he'll be on there tonight. We'll be talking. He's skeptical, by the way, on North Carolina.
On North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he says. He says he's not necessarily all in on Hubert this year. My boy John Henson. He says Kansas is free money.
Wow.
I think it is. I think it is. You guys are going to run out of the building.
Are you all in on Hubert?
It's early, right? Like, this is what, year four?
Four now?
Yes, I guess it is year four.
Yeah.
That's Friday. How about that? A good Friday college basketball game. I like that. I like that we're going to have more Friday games.
That's right. They're on the road. Kansas. Yeah, I forgot.
Is that there?
That's not a neutral? Yeah. It's not a neutral, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a big number.
I think it's the first time in decades they've played there. I can't remember the year, but it's
been like going to be like 8.5 is going to be my guess. So
too early to tell is where you're at on Hubert.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, early returns are promising. Obviously, you had that disastrous year where they were preseason number one and things kind of, the roof kind of caved in. But you saw last season him put a full campaign together, right? A full season together. And even though they came up short of their goals, I think it was encouraging what you saw.
I think it's been a big it's been a big sort of slow, you know, hill sort of slide since that first year, man. But maybe
you think so?
Yes.
I thought last season was his best season. Last season was his best season.
Yeah, but
that first season they had to capture lightning in a bottle to make that run.
Hubert Davis has the unique claim, and I think you know where I'm going here.
Okay.
Of the only coach to have a preseason number one team that didn't make the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
It's hard to debacle. It's hard to overcome that. It's hard to overcome.
But as we know here in Memphis, it's hard to overcome locker room issues and chemistry problems and off the court drama.
Y'all blamed Caleb for that.
Carolina had plenty of that season.
You know? Y'all put it all on Caleb, which I thought was ridiculous.
I did not blame Caleb for anything.
So who got the blame? Because that's all I ever read was that.
I mean, that's the guy that left town, so you got to assume that.
Right. Everybody's like, he caused all the drama, but he's the only reason, let's make it clear, that y'all ever even appeared in a title game under Hubert.
Yeah, that was hell of a run.
Y'all did him dirty, man. Y'all did Caleb Love so dirty. But anyway, should be a fun basketball season. Memphis is 1-0. Parthy Podjai covers Tigers for the Daily Memphian. He'll chronicle every step of the way. And you're going to Vegas, right?
I am.
When do you fly out?
I get there Friday around 3:30 or so.
Got you.
Gonna have a little bit of free time. Hopefully I'll find something to do out there, you know?
Yeah.
Watch out.
Friday night action.
Where are you staying?
Staying at the Renaissance is what it's called, I believe. It's on the Strip.
Okay. I don't think I've ever stayed there. I usually stay at Planet Hollywood or Caesars if I can.
Caesars was expensive. I didn't want to break the Daily Memphian bank.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because we got to send you to Maui. Right, we got to do that.
And San Francisco.
Yes,
man, it's two different trips.
Look, it sure is. Fun season.
Look, I'm not.
Very, very fun season.
Is somebody getting fired? Because how else are we paying for the travel budget? I'm a little worried over there.
Nobody's getting fired.
Dude, I mean, it's getting expensive, man. It's getting expensive. Anyway, good stuff, man.
Thank you, appreciate y'all.
He is part of the podcast that covers the Memphis Tigers for the Daily Memphian. We'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.